So what are you supposed to do between each Engadget podcast? Wait in silence? I'm Matt Smith, and every morning I walk through the day's biggest tech stories. It's short, relevant, and ready for listening whenever you wake up. Find Engadget Morning Edition wherever you find your podcasts, or ask your smart speaker for the latest news from Engadget.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Engadget podcast. I'm senior editor Devendra Hardawar.
I'm reviews editor Sherlyn Lowe.
It's a very special day today, folks.
We're excited.
Because we've got Bill Nye himself here on the show to talk about his upcoming VR science kit. But before we get to that, be sure, if you've been enjoying the show, be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes or your podcatcher of choice. Drop us an email at podcast@engadget.com. We love hearing from everybody. And you can always find us live, usually 11 a.m. Eastern, you know, Thursday mornings. But today it's a little different because we have a very special guest. So, yes, Bill Nye. Hello, sir. Thank you for joining us.
It's I who must thank you electronically.
Yes.
It's very nice to see you. Well, you're here obviously because you teamed up with Abacus to launch a new VR science kit this week. It's available on Amazon for $60. And I mean, the components of VR and AR in this kit are, very newfangled, I guess, compared to those of us who spent our youth kind of growing up watching you on TV. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about this kit and what it offers?
So let us go by way of example.
Sure.
What do we, when it's a science fair, science time in your elementary school or wherever you are, what does everybody do? They make a volcano, right?
Yes.
Okay, and they use baking soda and vinegar. And I remind you, the gas that comes out of the vinegar and baking soda reaction is the same gas or one of the same gases that comes out of a real volcano. So that's pedagogically of great interest. Mm-hmm. From an educator standpoint, great interest. But now imagine you put on goggles, virtual reality goggles, VR goggles, as we said, Engadget. And now you can go around the world looking at diagrams of what's under a volcano, and you can just get, it's like turning pages of a three-dimensional book. Mm-hmm. And it's what you'd expect. I got to say, as an educator, it's what you'd expect. It's what you'd expect from a modern virtual reality experience.
So when you say a modern virtual reality experience, I want to take it back even further a little bit. Bill, tell us what your first VR experience was like, because I'm sure you, more than any of us, have experienced VR in the early days.
Oh, yeah.
This kick has been around for a while.
Oh.
Yeah.
Know what? I was at the science teacher convention. I was at Consumer Electronics, and you put them on, and there's a blue whale that swims right by you. You put them on, and you're flying over the landscape of Mars. And by the way, we're going to do that for reals on February 18th. You know, the Perseverance rover is going to land on Mars. But this is what you'd expect. Because we have two eyes and all this software in our brains to render the world in three dimensions, when you put on the virtual reality goggles, it uses the electric internet to Bluetoothify your way into these amazing experiences.
Yeah.
And it's what you'd expect. And so the Abacus people have worked the software so that it works. It's really cool.
How involved were you in putting this together, though? You said the Abacus people put a lot of the tech components together, but what was your input like?
Well, it's my voice when you get it. You're listening to Uncle Bill tell you these amazing things. And so that was, that's what you'd expect from a video performer, from me, is be my voice.
Can we call you Uncle Bill? Is that what the kids will be calling you in the learning?
Sure, sure. In moderation. We are all, from an anthropological standpoint, we are all one family.
Aww,
and
that is
so,
sweet.
Well, no, I mean, that's true. I mean,
true.
In fact, look at the video right here, everybody. This is people of different ancestries, but ultimately everybody's from Africa. Everybody is the same species. And so, sure, Uncle Bill is as good as we got right now.
I will, Yeah.
Speaking of the anthropology of it all, I was watching your TikTok video explaining the different types of skin colors around the world. Yeah, I mean, I see you're prolific on TikTok. Your videos have 20 million views, some of them. What do you think of TikTok sort of a learning platform?
Well, it's cool. I mean, but it's not the answer to all our problems, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like to remind people that are concerned about the hour and a half that a lot of kids spend watching TikTok. Yeah. Yes, there are important videos of cats chasing butterflies. Of course, there are important videos of people making themselves appear to be have a different head than they really have. But also there is the potential for some real education or getting the message across. Because a lot of times the message you want to get across is just one idea. That is, in this case, humans are all one species.
Yeah.
It's just, if nothing else, it gives the viewer, the play with her person, something to think about, I hope. Mm-hmm. I hope.
I think that's a good point.
But look at the skin color thing. Look at the three of us. We got a real gradation here. No, we do. And it's a result of where our ancestors lived on the Earth's surface and how much ultraviolet that area received. It's crazy. It's cool. It's science.
It's science.
Yeah.
While we have you on a good connection, Bill, there is a question I've been dying to ask you for a while, because I grew up with all of your work and you kind of have shaped what I do now as a presenter of information. But how is it being Bill Nye during this period where it seems like there is an extreme anti-science element in the world, in the government, in major countries? It seems like we've taken a step backwards from where things were 10 years ago, even.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, we have. So what I'll tell everybody, for whatever reason, the United States is the most influential culture. I'm not saying it's better or worse. It's certainly not the biggest. It's the third most populous country. People are surprised. You go China, India, and that will soon reverse to India, China. But the U.S. is the third most populous country, a third of a billion people. The U.S.'s influence on the world is very strong. And so I just tell everybody, if you're in the U.S., you have to vote. Mm-hmm. You've got to vote. Please vote. And this year, science is on the ballot. Mm-hmm. This year, science is something you're voting for. And I've said for a couple decades, take the environment into account when you vote. Well, it's bigger than that. In the Venn diagrams of life, it's the next circle out where you have, here in the U.S., everybody, we had the vice presidential debate last night.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This is the woman running for vice president and the guy who is vice president right now. And there's an expression based on a movie and a story called gaslighting, where you say, you deny what the person is complaining about by saying what they're complaining about. So this guy who's vice president of the United States said, we follow the science. If there's one thing this administration has absolutely not done, is follow the science. With respect, there's nobody worse at it, I don't think. And it goes from the top all the way down. And with both climate change and the pandemic are both science issues that this administration has completely messed up. And they're trying to tell you that they haven't messed it up. And that's where I use the expression gaslighting. They're trying to gaslight you into thinking. And the gaslighting, if you ever see the movie, is based on the people next door will use the gas and the lights will dim. And the guy says, the lights aren't dimming. That's your imagination. And she's like, hold it. It's not my imagination. And there's some conflict, It's resolved in a catastrophic fashion. But so you got to vote, everybody, and then we can take a meeting on this. So I say all the time, in the U.S. Constitution, which is now available in paperback, in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 8 of the U.S. Constitution, it refers to the progress of science and useful arts. And so that's the role of Congress, is to promote the progress of science and useful arts. And I say all the time, I think useful arts was 18th century expression for engineering or making stuff, architecture, bridges, buildings. And so we got to do this. And you can't remain economically competitive by ignoring science. And then, of course, we have this catastrophic problem of climate change. And I'm optimistic about the future, because when young people are voting in much larger fraction of the electorate than they are now, things are going to change. Mm-hmm. Young people are going to put up with this crap. They're going to address climate change, and they'll wear masks for 6 weeks, and we'll get the pandemic under control, and then we'll reopen businesses in civilized fashion. This is all doable. And yeah, vaccine will be introduced, but half the people don't want to take it because of the gaslighting of the administration.
Yep.
So half is not bad, though. If you can get to half the people immune, and then another pretty good sized fraction who have had it, who have had the virus and recovered, and you stay immune for a year or two, that gets you close enough to the magical three quarters number, or 70%, that people talk about, where then the chance of somebody who's not infected encountering somebody who is infected gets to be quite small. And this is this mythic thing, speaking of gaslighting, that the president has thrown around. Herd immunity, where you have enough people immune that the chances of the infected person meeting the uninfected person get real small. But we can get there through science.
Through science. Yes. I'm glad you brought up climate change, too, because I feel like that's the thing I grew up hearing about this. I grew up hearing about the hole in the ozone layer, which we managed to fix with science in the 90s, right? But it also seems like there's been so much denial of climate change over the past several decades. We're at a point now where the forest fires, you know, the wildfires are insane. We have insane weather patterns now with multiple hurricanes. You know, a year, this year in particular, it just seems hellish. Where do we go from here to help resolve climate change? Yeah.
Last night, the vice president said there's as many hurricanes now as there were 100 years ago. That's if you look at this 1 week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. It's just, anyway. So what we're going to do when everybody is settled down and voting, paying attention, and we have a regular administration in place that thinks regular things about science, we will, I believe, be able to get this fee and dividend system on carbon, where the more carbon you produce, the higher the cost a fee is charged. We can't, of course, we can never use the word tax. Oh, taxes are evil. Yeah, you know, the horrible socialism they have in Denmark, how miserable it is in Scandinavia with all that socialism. Anyway, when we are paying a fee on carbon, then the people that you might think at first that it's a regressive tax, where the people that need the fossil fuel the most, people who work for a living and drive to the job site and all that, people who can't Google their way through a day, need the gas and they pay more money. But they use bigger cars, more fossil fuel, bigger houses with more air conditioning and heating bills, and more jet skis, more cottages in the country they drive back and forth to. So they'll actually pay more. And the key is to take that dividend, the money from that, and to redistribute it. And this is, you know, with respect to everybody who hates everything, this is a form of redistribution of wealth, is a form of socialism. It's not bad. And, you know, I like to remind people, and look, you know, I'm not a Scandinavian guy. I mean, I grew up in the U.S., but they have huge corporations in Scandinavia and social distribution of wealth. I mean, it's just in Australia. They have huge corporations and socialized medicine. Canada. I mean, it's not all bad. Anyway, when we get through this election, then these things will start getting addressed. But everybody, we have to stop burning fossil fuels. This is not rocketry. This is, we just have to stop this. And so I just point out to everybody that the same places where we are extracting oil and natural gas are the same areas in North America where we have huge wind resources and solar resources. My goodness, you know.
Yeah.
A dear friend of mine went to the University of Nebraska, and even now, 40 years later, she just curses the wind. It just blows all the time. So let's use it. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then people say, well, we don't have any way to store it. Well, let's figure one out. Okay.
Yeah.
And the other example, you guys, I just think about the current administration got off on this thing about plastic straws. When this famous or infamous, notorious picture of the turtle who'd been injured with the plastic straw. So they started printing plastic straws with the administration's name on it as a protest against the bleeding heart liberals who want to do something about this catastrophic problem. Let's just make better straws. Let's acknowledge that we have a problem and make better straws. And indeed, it's very competitive. Companies, you know, who make disposable dishware, it's very competitive business to make better straws. So what we want, everybody, is three things for everyone in the world: clean water, renewably produced electricity that's reliable, and access to the internet, or whatever the kids call the internet in the coming decade. And no, it may take on a new, better name, but maybe internet's okay. Anyway, so if we can provide those three things, then we can do the ultimate thing, Cheryl Lynn. We can raise the standard of living of girls and women.
Well, there you go.
If we can do that, we will address climate change and everything else all at once. So about the VR kit. Everybody,
what a great segue.
Just the other day, Jennifer Doudna won the Nobel Prize.
Yes.
For discovering CRISPR. Well, I guarantee you that she and the Wright brothers got excited about science when they were little kids.
Yeah.
Before they're 10 years old.
For
and
sure.
So the purpose or the idea behind the kit is to get you excited about science when you're young.
Were you reading my mind? Because I was just going to ask you to end with that and tell us the
main goal. I meant to disclose this earlier that, yes, I can read minds.
I knew it.
I should have said that up front.
That's science. That's some sort of science.
Actually, it is, and I'm not changing the subject, but what we need, thing we need out there right now is a phrase that's, it's a fine phrase, critical thinking.
Oh, yeah.
We need people who are able to evaluate evidence. And I don't mean professionals, evidence evaluators. I mean everybody. We need everybody to get that training. And it's a way of thinking scientifically. And so I hope that with Bill Nye's VR lab, people will get a start on that. Why did this happen? Why is this phenomenon the way it is? Why is nature the way it is? What can I do about this? And it is cool.
That's super.
That's an excellent thought.
Where else can we find you on the internet these days now, Bill? I know you're doing a podcast. You're everywhere. But where do you want to highlight for people?
Well, Science Rules is the podcast, and we do two versions. We do Science Rules regular. Today, we just a little few hours ago, I interviewed Yuval Harari, the guy who wrote the book Sapiens and the Sapiens Deus. And now that book is coming out in a illustrated graphic novel.
Oh, wow. That's a great book. Cool. What a great idea.
It's very sexy. It's very cool. And then we do a coronavirus edition. So we had Michael Osterholm, you know, the guy from Minnesota who talks, we don't have this tiger by the tail. We're barely hanging on. And all. And then we had Tony Fauci on the freaking podcast.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
And we had the gal from MIT, Lydia Borudi. She's the fluid mechanics person who did these studies of how far the droplets go through the air. And just let me tell you, everybody, you don't have to know anything about anything, but you've seen baby powder. You've seen dust.
Yeah.
It stays in the air more than 6 feet from here to there. It doesn't fall to the ground in 6 feet.
Yeah.
So the six-foot physical separation is a start. but it does not guarantee success. But it's way better than shaking hands and kissing and carrying on and smooching and breathing on each other or going to church and singing to each other. Right. We have to beat this thing, the coronavirus. We just have to beat it.
Yeah.
And the scale of it, everybody, I mean, 210,000 people here in the States, 210,000.
Insane.
Come on. I mean, that's, what is that? A plane crash?
Mm-hmm.
That's
not even
20,000 plane crash, 2,000 plane crash. What the heck are you doing? If there were two plane crashes a week, you'd have a concern, wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. And so do not let the current administration gaslight you people. Get out there and vote. And if you have questions about for whom to vote, really? if you have questions about for whom to vote, go to the Electric Internet, consult your Bar Association, League of Women Voters, League of Conservation Voters, Union of Concerned Scientists. You can figure this out. And when it's time to vote, remember, voting is a lot of screwing around. There's the top of the ticket, the president, vice president, but then there's the deputy and the sheriff and the school board and Proposition 36 and Proposition 105 and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. You got to sit and think. And this is why I think mail-in voting will finally catch on large scale. I have not lived anywhere where you didn't vote by mail. I voted in the human, but one time in the last 30 years, and that was because I went with Ed Begley Jr. I'm not joking you. So I took my absentee ballot to the voting place and filled out the form anyway. But you guys, it's just better. And I grew up in Washington, D.C., in the city of Washington, D.C.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And so, well, I mean, what do you do? I was born. Yeah. Oh, what? And so you go around there all the time. You go by all the monuments. On the main post office, it says, neither rain or sleet nor gloom of night. Mm-hmm. Will stay them from their appointed rounds. That's inspirational and cool. And the post office, it's in, by the way, that's Article 1, Section 7 of the U.S. Constitution, shall establish postal system and post roads. It doesn't say it has to make a profit. That's no.
Right.
It's so it connects everybody. It's so that we all share this.
Yep.
And, you know, Dr. Harari on the Sapiens points out that what holds the whole thing together are these myths or common beliefs.
Yeah, yeah.
That we can solve these problems. So we can do this, people. It's exciting.
I'm ready. So, thank you, Bill. Wow.
Thank you so much, Bill.
Is it time to go? Check out the VR Science Kit. Turn it up loud. Check out Bill Nye's Great Big World of Science. It just came out.
Oh, yes.
Check out Science Rules. Watch my shows on Netflix over and over. So you pay.
I'm already doing that. Yeah.
Anyway, thanks, you guys. Let's change the world.
Thank you so much.
Bill, this was wonderful. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much again to Bill Nye for joining us. What a crazy interview, folks. What a fun interview. Anyway, let's move on to Amazon Prime Day. And joining us to discuss, I guess, this new commerce holiday is our commerce editor, Valentina Palladino. Hello, Valentina. How's it going?
Hi. Good. Hey, how are you guys?
We're buzzing right now.
I can tell. So cool to have Bill Nye on.
Oh, gosh. So cool. I was so nervous, and now I'm just happy, so that's good.
That's good. We're going to ride this wave.
Mel.
Yeah.
You're super busy with, like, the lead up to Prime Day.
Yes, it's always a lot of work leading up to things like Prime Day and Black Friday and Cyber Monday, but tis the season. Tis the shopping season already. Even if you don't want it to be, it is already the shopping season.
We cannot stop it. Yeah.
Ouch. So you're the expert on all things, you know, shopping season related and gadget shopping and all of that stuff. What can people expect on October 13th, which is Prime Day?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So Prime Day, as it has been for the past year or two, I think it is over the course of 2 days, over the course of 48 hours. Mm-hmm. So it's October 13th and 14th. And, you know, it's a little bit of a mixed bag. Every year it's a little bit of a mixed bag, right? Mm-hmm. So it's hard to say exactly what will be on sale, but I know that, you know, just based on Prime Day's past, we will probably see a lot of deals on Amazon products. Shocker.
Right.
You know, so it's hard to guarantee any of these deals, but Amazon Prime Day has always been a vehicle for Amazon to try to sell you know, Echo speakers, Fire TV devices, even some of the products that like are from other companies, but they own them. So like Blink cameras, stuff like that. So all of those things we'll probably see pretty good discounts on. Usually it's Prime Day and Black Friday, Cyber Monday, where you have the steepest discounts on those specific products.
So that means that if I wanted to buy like a new, like, I don't know about the new stuff they announced recently, but like anything that might be sold by Amazon, I should wait kind of to like this time of year and Black Friday to really wait for the big discounts, right?
Definitely. I mean, it's since Amazon did announce a couple of new speakers recently, like I think it was an updated Echo Dot and updated Echo and a couple of other things.
The round Echo.
Yes. The orb shaped Echo, as I like to call it. yes. Those, I'm not sure what we're going to see with those, especially since they haven't even shipped yet. If you go online, you can pre-order them now. But I don't think any of them are actually shipping until end of October, beginning of November. So for Prime Day, they're not even shipping, unless they pull some surprise and say, here you go, we're going to ship them all out now, which I highly doubt is going to happen. But yeah, so since those things aren't officially even out yet, I don't know if we're going to see a lot of discounts on those. But for everything that's still out or hasn't been updated, so things like the Echo Show 5, there's already a Prime Day deal that you can get for the Echo Show 5 where it's down to the lowest price that we've seen it. I think it's $45, which is down from like $90 or something crazy like that. Ooh. So there are already some deals you can shop on Amazon devices, but there are definitely more devices that have not been discounted yet. So those we could see some more come out as we get closer and closer to Prime Day.
I haven't paid as much attention to Prime Day over the past few years, but do they save third-party stuff mainly for Black Friday, or do they actually bring in some here? Because I know headphones and cheap TVs seem like the things everyone, we're always seeing deals for those. Seems like the thing everybody wants this year.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I would assume that we're going to see deals on headphones, things like TVs, maybe like smart vacuums, smart home devices like that. Maybe even some monitors, some laptops. There's always a little bit of everything. That's why I say it's a mixed bag, because you can kind of find a little bit of everything. But I do expect to see, just based on Prime Day's past, a lot of accessory deals, because those things are small. They're usually pretty affordable, but like with Prime Day and Black Friday, you know, they can be really, really affordable. So things I like to call like tech stocking stuffers will probably be a lot, like a lot of the deals that you'll see on Prime Day, I would expect.
Gotcha,
so like
gotcha.
Portable battery chargers, or like an anchor, this and that, or a mouse, or like a phone case or something, right?
Probably, yeah. But there will, I can assume that there would be a lot of like big ticket items too. It really just depends on what you're in the market for. Maybe there's a tablet, not even just Fire tablets, but other types of tablets. Laptops, like I said before, maybe Chromebooks, a little bit of everything, I'd say. But we're going to cover all of the tech deals on Engadget. So the thing with Prime Day and the same thing with Black Friday and Cyber Monday is that there's a ton of deals. There's going to be a ton of discounts, tons of deals, and no one person can go through them all. So we're going to try to help everybody out by going through them and picking out the best ones from our point of view based on our reviews and our coverage. So you can come to Engadget for those 2 days, October 13th and 14th, to find only the best ones that we can find. So
yeah, Valentina is going to be so busy.
I think any recommendations from either of you too about, I don't know, how to manage this, because I do feel like once you get to the end of the year, you start to see all these good stuff, all these good deals. Do you buy the thing where you think you may need it next year? Like, do you think it's even wise to overload yourself with all these deals, or should people just like, buy what you need, be careful, because I do think things go on sale often too. It's not like this is a one-time thing, right?
Right.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I would recommend, and I kind of wrote this a little bit in our What to Expect posts on Engadget right now for Amazon Prime Day. It seems really simple, but make a list, people. Please make a list.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're getting closer, we're getting into the holiday shopping season this year because of the pandemic, I feel like the holiday shopping season has basically already started. So, you know, don't wait. You don't want to wait necessarily until Black Friday, Cyber Monday to get everything, especially since there is something like a Prime Day and competing retailer sales, maybe Best Buy and Walmart and Target, people like that, you know. You can find deals now, so you might as well make a list, get the things that you need off of that list, and then maybe afterwards or along the way you see something that seems really interesting to you or that you've been looking for yourself, like, you can treat yourself if it's on sale.
Sure. I will say, watch out for the late night while you're doom scrolling Twitter and you see a deal and you're like, I could use another Instant Pot or something. Like, you know. You make bad choices at
night. That's just because you live in Atlanta now and you have plenty of room for multiple Instant Pots. Meanwhile, I can even accommodate one. So
what I wouldn't do for a kitchen that would fill multiple. Like, I would
I know.
Multiple Instant Pots.
Nobody needs a multiple Instant Pots, but you know, sometimes. You don't.
I want all the kitchen gadgets.
All the gadgets. One thing we should mention, since we're talking about Amazon, there was it Washington Post or one of those places? Like, somebody broke a very in-depth report about Amazon Basics products and just how much of a garbage fire they are, especially the cables, which seem to just catch fire. Anything dealing with power has the potential to catch fire. So be careful, folks out there. I would not invest too much in Amazon Basics at this point. Ooh. You know, spend a little more for something higher quality.
Especially if they deal with like cables and electronic stuff.
Batteries? God. No.
Anything with power. I get Amazon Basics, like my yoga mat. I have a few yoga mats, but one of them is
Sherlyn. You never know.
It
you
might catch
you're
on
doing
fire.
Downward dog, and it will catch on fire.
It's hot yoga. It's hot yoga.
It's dangerous. And also, as we will make it very clear, Sherlyn lives dangerously without a fire extinguisher. So this is a thing I have to keep coming back to, because Sherlyn, you almost set a hotel on fire and you still don't have a fire extinguisher. What are you doing?
You gotta go out and buy one of those, girl.
Wait, Valentina doesn't know the story of the
I don't know the story, but I mean, I believe you, Dev.
Let's give the story real quick, the 30-second version of the story. You forgot you shouldn't put metal in the microwave.
Oh my god. Don't tell the whole world I did that.
Anyway,
how long ago was this?
This was in Barcelona, like 2018, first MWC with Engadget. I was like, Spain, things work differently here. Maybe they use this microwave to grill stuff too. And I left the grill stand in there to put for some reason I thought putting my food higher up would get it heated up faster. Wow. And it just caught on fire. So it did get heated up faster. It's kind of
folks,
exploded.
I've been meaning to buy Sherlyn a fire extinguisher, so I will be shipping her one. And basically, by the way, shout out to CNN. It was CNN who reported on the Amazon Basics stuff. Sherlyn, maybe we'll blame it on the jet lag for your
for your
Spain
pure confusion.
Experience.
Yeah, I think it was totally the jet lag. I blame jet lag for everything in my life. But no, Valentina, back to Prime Day really quickly. You bring up a good point, because I get questions all the time, and I thought about maybe I should just wait till Black Friday to do some of my shopping, because maybe more places will have sales that can rival Amazon's. But you know, for Prime Day, it sounds like you're saying holiday shoppers, if you already have a list and if they come up on Prime Day, it might be a good idea to get them now, because you never know, they might be out of stock later this year too.
Definitely. I mean, this year has been crazy for so many reasons, but one of the things that's been happening is that a lot of people, even more than usual, are turning to online shopping for essentials as well as gifts, you know, as we get into the holiday shopping season. So for that reason alone, just to avoid any sort of shipping delays that might happen, you know, it's not going to be the buyer's fault, right? So you just want to make sure that you get your items early if you can, because, you know, with Amazon Prime Day, usually if you can get like certain items on a good discount, it's worth it to get it then and there, because sure, there will be Black Friday, Cyber Monday deals. There always are. But they're coming around this year earlier than ever. So I would say, if you have a list and you know what you need absolutely to get, and you see it, you know, discounted on Amazon Prime Day, whether it be at Amazon or at a competing retailer, like, get on that, just so you can get it off of your list and you won't have to worry about shipping delays or even just finding it, you know, later on in the season.
It's all about preparedness.
Absolutely. And, the list thing is very, very simple thing to do. But a lot of people don't do it, even just for, to-do lists and shopping lists. But, I have a list for everything, I have a list for everything.
Well, you're a very organized person, Valentina. I appreciate that about you, about how organized you are, because you also manage a lot of our guide stuff. So that's all helpful.
Well, that's very nice of you. But I realize that's not everybody. You know what I mean?
That's not everybody.
That's why I say, make a list, because you'll thank yourself later. And also, it'll help you kind of stick to what you need to buy, rather than having those late night shopping trips that you might regret later on, which I have absolutely had many of them in the past.
Yeah. Also, it is worth reminding people, order early, because shipping, everything, logistics in the country, across the world, are a mess right now.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's not like, I remember for the past few years, I could do a last minute gift towards almost getting to Christmas and still get an Amazon thing the next day, even though I know I should not be using Amazon as much, especially not super fast shipping, but sometimes you need it. This year, everything is screwed up. Give your, give the delivery people a break too. If you order early, it's less of a crush on everybody and the whole system works better. Right.
Definitely.
All right. So it sounds like people should keep it locked to Engadget.com. October 13th and 14th, all day, we'll have updates on the best deals on Amazon Prime Day for you if you're looking to shop all the tech stuff that's on the site. And Valentina.
And I should also say that we have our own Engadget Deals Twitter account too. It's at Engadget Deals.
There you go.
So also, if you are if you want to stay up to date on Twitter, maybe want to check out some of the lightning deals that are going on that are worth your time during Amazon Prime Day, we will be promoting some of them on the Deals Twitter account, and also all of our Prime Day content will go there as well.
That actually sounds like a faster way to get your hands on some of these flash deals. So
get the deals.
Definitely. Gosh. Yeah,
follow it if you can, my dear listeners.
Thank you so much, Valentina.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. It's good to see you.
Okay, folks, let's move on to what we're working on. I'll start. I'm testing out a couple of things. I can't really say much about it, but I am reviewing,
as always,
the super cute, eensy weensy, oh so kawaii Surface Laptop Go. So look for my review next week on that. It's a very cute little laptop. I also wrote up my experience with Population One, which is a VR battle royale game. And I've seen a couple of these come around. This one is interesting because it's it's actually cross-platform through all the VR platforms, including Oculus Quest. So I played it on an Oculus Quest 2. I hopped in with some reps from the developer. We played a couple matches, but there were people on desktop VR headsets from an actual Rift or even Steam VR headsets or Windows Mixed Reality. The thing about Battle Royale games is you need a lot of people to actually connect and party up with. So this seems like the one that could be really cool. So go check out my preview of that. It has a lot of cool mechanics. It is hard to talk about VR stuff because it's unless you put on a headset and go through it too, you won't quite understand what I'm saying. But I really like the mechanics. They have the ability to just climb any surface on the map, which is super cool. So there's a huge tower in the middle. You could spend a lot of the match just climbing all the way up there. It's sort of like parkour, but it's just climbing. But you have to do in VR, you have to hold your hands over hands. You can also fly from anywhere by holding your arms out like a T. So it is cool to climb a building and then
Superman.
Go T, Superman in VR and fly around and then go shoot somebody in the head. That's fun.
Nice.
That's Population One. And also doing some, a lot of prep for our holiday gift guide. We're all working on that right now, and Valentina's leading that for us. So look for all of our recommendations soon. And if you want to get a taste of what's coming, though, we did back to school guides. We did so many great guides this year. Mm-hmm. A lot of my recommendations from there are carrying over to this. So you could go check some of those out too. Sherlyn, what have you been working on?
Yeah, I'm working on our buyer's guide stuff too, like you. As our lead wearables person, I'll be giving you guys the wearables guide picks, I guess, for this holiday season to buy for people or yourself. But also, as per usual, a lot of stuff I cannot talk about. Certain things are in for review. Certain things are being tested. I think everyone who's tuning in knows what to expect. Mm. But also today, Google had an assistant developer day where it announced a couple of interesting new features. For one thing, the assistant can now speak to your third-party apps. So you can tell assistant to send a tweet and it will open the app and send it from there for you. It can look for news on Twitter for you, or you can order something on Postmates by asking the assistant. So Siri, as far as I know, can't do that yet. Amazon can sort of do that, but it's not on a phone. Well, it's sort of on a phone, but
you can open up the Alexa app on your phone and do same Alexa commands.
But for some reason, built in.
Yeah, I have Alexa in my car. And it barely works, but Alexa is there. Yeah. I could hit a button and my car will do something. That's weird.
You can turn on your lights from the car or something.
From the car, yeah.
Yeah. But so there's that. And there's some other Android-related news that I had to write up for today's embargo. But one other thing, and the Apple event is coming up on Tuesday, the October 13th. And we will obviously be live streaming it here on the Engadget YouTube channel. If you're listening or watching with us now, make sure to mark your calendars. Come over to the Engadget YouTube to join me and someone fun from the Engadget team to break down all that news. We'll hang out with y'all. We know it should be Matt Smith, but I thought I would tease y'all with a little bit of a surprise, but that's not working. And my final thing that I worked on, I know it's been a lot, this week, also Lenovo and Ava DuVernay announced a new VR film series and project called New Realities. And it's about tech and empowering women around the world. At first, when I received the news, I was like, what's going on here? I mean, Ava DuVernay, right? I had to check it out.
Yeah.
And actually, it's a very interesting project where Lenovo is committing up to $100,000 in funding for, 10 women or perhaps more to pursue education related to a field of their interest. So oftentimes it's about, one of the women involved was passionate about climate change. So she's in the UK, she's a youth climate activist. And the film series is a VR film series, but you can also watch it on laptop or desktop. Desktop or mobile without a headset if you wanted to. And it looks at the stories of 10 young women from countries like India, Germany, France, Brazil, Mexico, China, Japan, very diverse set of women, and all of the difficulties they've encountered and how they've gone through it with some help of like tech in some cases. So if you have time, International Day of the Girl is this Sunday, October 11th. If you want to check out the films, they're all very short, under 10 minutes long. So you can go take a look. And that's a taste of what I've been working on.
Just a taste. Okay. Well, how about a taste of what you've been watching for our Engadget pick section?
So I had to apologize to our video team so hard for this because I'm so sorry.
Oh, man.
I have so many things to talk about. You have no idea. First of all, quick shout to Lovecraft Country, which last week's episode or last Sunday's episode was incredible. It felt like Jordan Peele was told you can put us into this episode. And like, it's just the horror aspect of it was ridiculously good.
That's super cool. I mean, he is a producer, but he hasn't been super involved with the show outside of that. But
Right. So it felt very
us-like. It's a weird show. It's been hit or miss, right? I feel like the first episode was so great. And the second episode was like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. The second episode was kind of confused.
There's so many good ones,
The Korea one is so good. I personally found last week's really, really good too, just in terms of this one particular plot line. You guys should watch it. I also want to, by the way, commit to all of October giving you guys good horror recommendations because, A, October is my favorite
quote unquote good horror, but okay.
Well, yeah, quote unquote good. I know. by your definition, Def. Anyway, the second thing I wanted to shout, and it's all going to be horror related. The other thing I want to shout was tomorrow, Haunting of Bly Manor drops on Netflix. I finally got that date right.
It's been a year since you first mentioned that. So, okay, great.
It's been a year since I got the date wrong. And The Haunting of Bly Manor, the reviews are in. They're kind of mostly good. Some not super. Yeah, most of the reviews are very good. I'm excited to see what Mike Flanagan is going to show us. The trailer looks amazing. Yeah. There you go. That's a quick
shout. If you want some good horror in your blood, by the way, people, just go watch everything Mike Flanagan has made over the past 10 years. Like every single movie, every TV show, anything he's touched has been fantastic. So he's our new horror MVP. Yeah.
I want to blast through my other two because, guys, I'm so sorry. I'm going to keep it tight. But my actual recommendation, I don't want to like recommend things that either I have not watched or like people all know about. So my actual recommendation is on Tuesday night, I think I watched this movie that was trending on Netflix called Vampires versus the Bronx.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen it, Devendra.
I have not seen it yet. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
Yeah. I love it, A, because it's funny. First of all, it's not super scary. It's actually kind of a comedy, but with a supernatural theme that I like. But B, the representation in this film is great. It focuses
on... I want to see the Kid Mero fight vampires. Like, I'm down with that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I've seen it now, and I will tell you that, I mean, the fighting is fine. The effects are fine. The comedy and the writing is really good. And I think it's for someone like me who misses kind of the authenticity of real New York City, that this kind of scratched that itch a little bit where, like, I mean, I lived in the Bronx for a while. Not the, not that, you know, like, I was in North Bronx. I was
not far
like, very, yeah, very far up. I was not, like, in the places that this movie was shot in. But still, it kind of made me feel like, you know, there's a bodega cat, there's a bodega, there's, you know, block parties.
Every time I watch New Year Things now, I'm very, I get very wistful about leaving New York. It's sad. New York is a very
special
place.
Want you to watch this. Yeah, I really want you to watch this to feel sad. But, I love
feel
seeing...
sad. Thank you.
I know. I love seeing the better representation and diversity in the horror genre altogether, and this is just one example. So my last two picks, I'm going to make them super quick. What was my second last one? Let me think. good Lord. I wanted to say shout out. I watched Lights Out, and it's just like a surprisingly good rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's good.
It's
good.
It's a straight up horror film. Have you seen it, Dev?
Of course. I mean, that started really out good. As like a short that guy had made. Yeah. And it was just like that concept of the ghosts like actually moving and appearing like while you turned off the lights.
Lights are out. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool. The fully fleshed concept from James Wan, by the way, apparently. It just was surprising.
James Wan
good.
Produced it.
I love James
Wan. It was David Sandberg who directed that. And he actually just did... He did Annabelle Creation, which was the sort of like Annabelle prequel from several years ago, which was pretty good.
I enjoyed that.
And he did
too,
Shazam.
Yeah.
Shazam's had a lot of fun from last year. Yeah.
Shazam's great. I enjoy the Conjuring series so much that I'm not surprised I like this. There are a lot of elements that were quite similar. The build up, the intensity of it is there. Like this is for traditional horror fans like me, this is a good one to watch. And then
I love
final
the Conjuring
shout,
series so much, man.
Yeah, the Conjuring series is one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. I can't even get started. We can talk about other things later. Anyway, my last shout, nothing at all to do with horror, just a quick shout out that the Blackpink album is out and y'all should listen to it if you like. I like a good trap beat, and this was plenty of that. So there you go.
Did
a lot of things, even in my downtime. What do you want to recommend, Dev?
Well, a sort of fun horror recommendation, which I made to you last year too, and Sherlyn still did not watch it, but the excellent CBS series Evil is now on Netflix, and I love this show. It kicks ass. You know, it is from Michelle and Robert King, the folks behind The Good Wife and The Good Fight, which are some of the best TV shows of the past few years. But whenever they go genre, they did Brain Dead a couple of years ago, which was about, brain eating ants taking control of politicians in Washington and their heads would explode. It's just a lot of fun stuff. Evil is about a priest in training who... investigates the paranormal. So it is X-Files through the lens of the church. It is like a lot of things Sherlyn would love, but apparently not good enough for Sherlyn to watch last year. Wow. But it's on Netflix now. It is fantastic. And I think everybody, if you want like a fun, you know, a fun Halloween thing, because it's not just scary, there are scary elements to it, but it's also really funny. It's also interesting. And I love the characters. It stars Mike Coulter, Luke Cage himself. So he's back on Netflix.
Nice.
Asif Manvi is in it as sort of like one of the lone gunman type of investigators. Katja Herbers is the lead. And what's his face? Michael Emerson, a.k.a. Ben Linus from Lost with the creepy eyes, is in this too. And there's like it's both scary, but there's also like a weird conspiracy element too, which I find kind of fun. Go check it out. Evil. It's on Netflix right now.
It looks really good. Yeah, I got the alert for it, and I was like, this sounds really good.
Yeah,
I thought,
it sounds good.
Forgot you recommended it.
Yeah. And something that's not horror, by the way, I just want to recommend everybody check out Ted Lasso, which is one of the newer series on Apple TV+. It stars Jason Sudeikis as an American football coach who goes to England and is basically chosen to coach a soccer team, but he doesn't know the rules of soccer. He doesn't actually know soccer.
Oh, no.
He just... took this job. I think it's fun and funny, and what's really cool is that it is created by Bill Lawrence, the guy who did Scrubs and so many great comedy series. It has a ton of heart. It is a show about positivity and like believing in yourself and all the fun things. But it's such like a good, I don't know, solution. It is a good antidote to the crap in the world today. It's about good people being good, and it's genuinely funny, has some great characters, and it's so much fun. It's like one of the few Apple TV Plus shows I think it's worth people just getting the service just to check out. So that's Ted Lasso on Apple TV Plus.
As an immigrant in America, watching the trailer already has me like be very happy to watch an American out of place in England right now.
Oh, so yeah. I mean, that happens all the time. There's also, what was it? Yeah. Emily in Paris is the show everyone's watching now, right. Which I, no thanks. I think I'm good without that. I do want to say to everybody, thank you so much for joining us. This is our anniversary episode. It's been a year since we brought back the Engadget podcast, since Sherlyn and I kind of went on this journey together. We brought in our producer, you know, Ben Elman, to join us and build the show up all together. So hopefully you've been checking us out for a while. Yeah. Hopefully you're enjoying
it. Yeah, it's also grown to become a live stream with the help of an entire video team behind us, and also our video head at Engadget. And, you know, having this anniversary episode with like Bill Nye was just
with really Bill Nye. With Bill Nye. So good. That's so like, good. So exciting.
Amazing. That's it for the anniversary episode, everyone. Thank you as always for listening. Our theme music is by game composer Dale North. Our outro music is by our very own Terrence O'Brien. The podcast is produced by Ben Elman. You can find Devendra online at
Devendra on Twitter. I chat about movies and TV at the /filmcast at /film.com. And if you want to hear me talk about The Legend of Korra, I brought back, the Republic City Dispatch podcast with my crew there. So go Google that.
If you want to send me fun TikToks of science and other stuff, you can always hit me up at Sherlyn Lowe on Twitter. Email us your thoughts and feedback at podcast@engadget.com. Leave us a review on iTunes because that'll really help. And subscribe on anything that gets podcasts, including Spotify.
Let's change the world.